From the land of Grand Hudefer City at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of May, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. If you can stay with us for our second half hour, you'll hear Mike again. He was part of our Commodity Week team recorded yesterday afternoon, along with Dale Durkles and Matt Bennett. Great program, Commodity Week, up on the website at Will. Ag.org already will run on many of these radio stations over the weekend, and if you're here on the home station, you'll hear it this afternoon. A bit later in this first half hour of the program, we'll also take a look at the weather forecast. It looks rainy on the weekend and Tuesday and even a bit further out, says Agribull's Eric Snodgrass, and we'll do all that on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Thunderstorms rolled through here last night, dropped about a half an inch of rainfall, and farmers are out of the field. How about out where you are?
Well, we got about 3 inches, Todd, and we had more on the way. In fact, the American model is suggesting we could get another 2 to 3 inches, between now and, say, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And so what is not up and emerged at this stage probably is going to have a tough time if we get those kind of rains in some of the key fields, especially the low-lying fields that we have in the Missouri River bottom. So that's probably, you know, one of the biggest features to what I'm hearing on both sides of the Corn Belt right now, whether east of the Mississippi or west of the Mississippi. And unless you got really well-drained fields or your terraced fields, like some of the fields out here are for corn and beans, you're sitting here thinking about how much chemical you have, how much nitrogen you have, whether you're going to put new corn in terms of replant, or whether you're just going to let the stand be because of the heavy rains that, you know, we're seeing right now. And some of the weather that we've just seen probably has made some of those decisions. And I suspect you'll have producers just sit tight, keep what they have in the ground, not try and go to beans, and look for the crop insurance to help them out.
Take it that part of the move today probably was just some recovery from the knee-jerk reaction to what happened in Brazil overnight on Wednesday of this week. And then, of course, building in maybe the weather forecast for the next, 2 to 7 days.
Yeah, less schizophrenic Latin American trade is probably the heart and soul of what helped us refocus our attention going into the weekend with these heavy rains coming in to the rest of the Corn Belt, already have fallen in the Western Corn Belt, putting some wheat and corn weather premium into the prices. I think it's worth noting that the U.S. dollar, after staging the recovery yesterday, is back on the defensive, back down to November of last year's lows. It looks like for the week it's going to fall a little over 2% and probably have its worst week since, I believe, April of last year. So we're going to be about 5% lower year to date in that dollar, both the spot and in the index as of today's close, which should keep the export and the inflationary bias on the positive side, especially when you see the crude oil in New York back above $50 a barrel.
I did not check the real. It dropped precipitously on Wednesday evening. Has it recovered at all?
Yeah, it was up about 2.5% before we went on the air. Looks like it's going to be up about a 3% gain here as we go into the currency closes.
So that would be, as long as the real is recovering and the U.S. dollar is going down, that would potentially be good for the export market still for the United States.
Yeah, I think the way I look at this market seems to be getting a little bit more refined. In that, my biggest concern is the soybean complex in terms of what has the horsepower or the fundamentals to take the corn and wheat well below their undervalue levels. I think they are plenty low already. Global ending stocks are dropping. We shouldn't have to take the market any lower until we know more about the supply side, especially the supply side for the corn because of the planting problems. But even for the winter wheat, both soft and hard red with these heavy rains, I don't think, based upon producers and what K-State is talking about right now, it's doing anything but hurt an already exacerbated situation because of the rust, because of the stripe, because of the inability to get fungicide put down, and because of the quality issues. So I guess when I look at the NAFTA-related issues, and we did see Brazil sell 300,000 tons of corn to Mexico that's going to be delivered between August and October at a discounted price compared to what that normally would be priced. I think number one is soybeans. Number two is NAFTA-related protectionism and hits, you know, kind of beating each other a little bit over the head while we negotiate this NAFTA the next 90 days. These are the two top factors that keep me as a bought put hedger, especially if you get up against resistance and overvalue levels. You look at weak basis in corn, especially the uncertainty in the yields and the futures price being below the crop insurance price for the base set in February. I think all these lend support the idea of keeping a hedge in place, known cost, and expect the volatility to get worse and worse and worse. In other words, the livestock volatility we've seen, I think that will migrate over into the grains before the end of the calendar year.
We're to that point, May 15th earlier in the week, May 20th tomorrow. A couple of marks on the calendar, I think, that most traders watch and will be really interested in how far along the crop is. The crop progress report last Monday, things were pretty much on target. Do you expect things to fall behind this coming Monday?
I think that is something necessary to keep this mini bull alive, is the crop progress report, because the market is very well aware that Illinois' good to excellent ratings are at a 10-year low for their corn, and they're very well aware of the slowdown in the emergence and in the planting. And yeah, I think to answer your question, that is necessary. I would also say you've had a situation now for such a long time that rallies like today naturally create some people calling, rightfully so, saying, could the low be in? And I think you have to take a step back and say it's been 11 months since December corn's been able to close above $4 on a monthly close. We just today in the hard red July wheat, old Kansas City wheat, were able to cross over the 100-day and 200-day moving averages and give a buy signal with that crossover. It had been since October of 2015, those two moving averages turned a sell signal. So it's natural that given the length of time we've been in this bear market, in the wheat and the corn especially, you would want to think a low is in. But that's not the same thing as, should I not hedge on a rally? And I think that's what I'm going to be spending more time with producers in both written copy and on the phone explaining. We still got to get through 2017. If we get through 2017, I look for 18, 19, and 20 to be much better years in terms of profitability for the farmer. But I can't screw up 2017 because too much is at stake.
So just when you look forward, you say under conditions that would be okay for the crop the rest of the year out, we might be getting better, but it's still a long, long drag out of the bottom of this and the supplies that we have.
Yeah, until the USDA acknowledges that demand. You know, we're still sitting 200 and 300 million bushels of 16, 17 demand that hasn't been accounted for unless we see an absolute zero, you know, over the last 10 weeks of our marketing year for corn. And I know ethanol margins have gone negative, but the production number was still very high this past week. So, yeah, I think that's exactly a great way to put it, is till we see the government walk back their supply numbers in the old crop and push below 2 billion bushels or closer to 2 billion bushels in 16-17, I still feel like that this is a good market, especially given the NAFTA issues and the geopolitical issues with all the populism in all these different countries. This is still a place where a 10 or 12 cent put does a lot of good. And I guess it goes back to what makes you sleep at night. Do I want to be long here? Can I sleep at night being long here? I don't think so. I think I'd be sleeping a lot better if I get to overvalue levels, get up to around 405, 410 in Dease corn, and get some hedges in place. Then I think I can sleep better at night.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist for the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois Prairie Research Institute. This week was just over 6 degrees above normal. Northern and central Illinois saw substantial rains as well. Amounts of 1 to 3 inches were common in an east-west band across the center of the state. Most of the rest of the state saw less than an inch of rain. The National Weather Service released their latest outlooks for June and the summer. There's not much exciting to report, which is probably a good thing. The outlook for June shows no increased chance of being too warm or too cold or too wet or too dry. Their outlook for summer shows us with a slightly increased chance for being warmer than normal, and they say nothing about rainfall. We know from recent history that we are trending towards more spring and summer precipitation. In addition, in summer, our daytime highs show little change with time. However, our nighttime lows have been increasing. With the recent rains, there's plenty of soil moisture for producing summertime humidity, so I would expect another summer of high humidity and nights that just won't cool off. In the short term, we can expect the rain to continue through Saturday and Sunday. Potential rainfall amounts could reach 1 to 2 inches before it's over. Temperatures will be cooler than normal, with highs this weekend and next week in the 60s and 70s for the northern half of the state, and highs in the 70s and low 80s in the southern half. Overnight lows will be in the 40s and 50s. This is state climatologist Jim Angel.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the farming world. Up next, we'll check in on the state of the Kansas wheat crop. The hard red winter wheat crop in Kansas has been under serious stress this spring. It's been frozen, covered with snow, drowned, and riddled with disease. Still, it may not be as bad off as conditions suggest. Romolo Lolato has been walking the fields. He's a K-State Extension wheat and forage specialist.
What we're learning is that apparently we're not seeing as much cold damage as we had kind of originally anticipated. It seems like most of the grains are starting to develop in those heads. We're maybe now in the southwest Kansas, maybe at half berry to three-quarter berry. So very, very few reports of actual damage from the cold. So that's a good thing.
So not so much damage to the hard red winter wheat crop in Kansas from prolonged exposure to the cold as it laid buried under snow a couple of weeks ago. However, the sheer weight of the snow has caused problems, says Lolato.
So what we're seeing now is a crop that's standing back up. So from the road, it looks okay, looks good, looks kind of like it's almost normal. But once we walk in the field and we actually scout, especially on the lower stems, we see that there are at least a couple of points where the stem is kinked, so where it's bent.
Kinked and bent stems aren't faring so well. Even then, Lolato is hesitant to venture a guess as to how much damage has been done. If the weather's hot, as is usually the case at this time of year in western Kansas, the damage could be significant, with either grain not being made or low test weight, he says. If it's moist and cool, then things will look a lot better for Kansas wheat farmers. This is the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass is now here. He's from Agribull right here in Champaign. Thanks, Eric, for being with us today.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about the recent weather we've had. A lot of things have been going on this week.
They sure have. You know, when we kind of take a step back and look big picture, the primary culprit has been this deep trough sitting over the western United States. And basically, for anybody listening, that's a sign to be watching out for severe weather. Whenever you see the flow of the atmosphere dip real far south over the four corner states, that tends to lend itself to producing a lot of severe weather over the central states and the Midwest. So that deep trough, well, it kicked off well over 1,500 reports of severe weather so far this week. 70 of those reports came from tornadoes. But we had a really interesting setup here in Illinois. While most of the Corn Belt actually had a pretty wet week, we had a rather dry last 7 days, at least leading up to yesterday. And as a consequence, we had the first of two big low pressure systems that went across the Central Plains and drove our pressure gradient, that's the change in pressure over a distance, way high. And what that means is really, really strong winds. We had 40 to 50 mile an hour winds almost sustained on Wednesday. Now, this is what's interesting. With all the planting activity that happened across Illinois over the last month or so, basically, when we go through and work that soil to get everything planted, we granulate the soil. It breaks it up into smaller and smaller bits. And what that does is it actually exposes more surface area of the soil, to the air. So then you have a dry time where 7 days of really not much precipitation. And all of a sudden, these incredible winds, it just picked that stuff up and blew it around as dust. I mean, we blew a lot of our topsoil, I think, from central Illinois to Wisconsin. Now, at times, it was almost to the point where we had zero visibility. You know, I've heard some folks talking about out driving, couldn't see past the hood of their car for a while. We did have some very tragic car accidents around central Illinois. But gosh, I teach about the Dust Bowl all the time in my severe weather course at the University of Illinois. And I think I finally experienced what it may have been like, at least a little bit, with Wednesday. But then all of a sudden on Thursday night, we had this band we watched all day, this shifting area of converging winds that finally moved and set itself up on Interstate 72. Then after the sunset, storms began to form on that boundary, and basically from a line from Champaign to Decatur to Springfield to Jacksonville, not north or south of that, but right on Interstate 72, there was 1 to 3 inches of rain from these thunderstorms. In fact, near Ivesdale, Illinois, that's southwest of Champaign, there was even reports of 1-inch diameter hail. Now, thankfully, since the morning, we've had more thunderstorms roll through. And now we've had almost all of central Illinois getting a half inch or better of rain over the last 24 hours, which was needed to kind of pat down that drier soil again. But it has been quite an amazing last, 72 hours across the U.S. and across Illinois.
Is there more rain coming?
Yeah, we're looking at that same trough finally kind of ejecting out of the Rocky Mountains and moving over toward the Great Lakes. And as that happens, we're going to see the widespread rain from northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, northern Iowa, and South Dakota, where it is right now, shifting to the north. But another round of showers and storms following that tonight and into tomorrow morning. In fact, tonight and tomorrow morning, we still are watching the severe weather threat from Texas and Oklahoma through southern Illinois, Missouri, Indiana. And then again tomorrow, there's a threat for Illinois and Indiana for some strong to severe storms. So we are looking at a lot more rain this weekend as this whole system kind of spins its way toward the northeast. But with that trough going over the Great Lakes, we're not going to see these upper 80s like we've been seeing in central Illinois once it gets over the Great Lakes by Sunday. We're going to start to see our high temperatures Sunday, Monday, Tuesday kind of in the upper 60s, lower 70s, which will feel kind of nice. That's actually back closer to what our climatological averages should be. And I'll say this, getting into next week, I'm watching another system that's coming through maybe Monday, Tuesday, bringing more scattered showers and thunderstorms. And to kind of finish it off, I looked at the long-range European model forecast. They do a neat thing with this model where they run it out 45 days, and they run it 51 separate times to give us what we call an ensemble average. And when looking at that, we are actually seeing that over the next 30 days, at least, so getting into mid-June, looks like the whole of the central United States is going to be kind of locked into a wetter pattern. So this wet we've started off with, we're going to continue with. Now, I know rain makes grain, but really in June, when you look historically, having a little bit drier than average conditions in June actually is good for the corn crop. It makes the corn put its roots down deeper, kind of makes for a healthier stand of corn later on in the season. So we got to be watching out for this. There's been a lot of adversity to the 2017 planting season, and looks like we're looking wet until at least for the next few weeks.
Glad you're keeping an eye on it for us, Eric. We'll check in with you again next week.
All right. Thank you.